I'm here in Seville, Spain, and on the other line I've got Alexander Mercuris, the Oracle of London in London. Alexander, how are you doing today?
I'm doing extremely well on this cold, wet November day in London. It's the kind of weather we are absolutely superb at in London. If you like cold, wet November day weather, this is the place to come. But I'm warm, I'm comfortable, I'm drinking from my Duran mug, I'm wearing my long sleeve Duran shirt, so I feel great.
All right, Alexander, let's talk about Turkey and Erdogan's trip to the White House. This was, I would say, one of the most interesting trips to the Oval Office that I have heard about. Axios did some reporting. They had some insider reporting as to what happened, Alexander. Here's a couple of things before you comment as to what I read via Axios. Number one, I read that letter that Trump had sent to Erdogan. I'm sure our viewers remember it and you remember it, where Trump kind of, you know, talked down a little to Erdogan there in that letter. Erdogan, from what I hear, handed it back to Trump. He just had it and just gave it back to him. And that letter dealt with the Kurds and what Turkey was going to do with the Kurds, and Trump gave him some threats. Erdogan just handed it back. The second meeting didn't really have to do with Trump at all, Alexander. Erdogan actually met with five U.S. senators, the most prominent being Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham took a very strong position for the Kurds in Syria. And from what I understand, there was one point where Erdogan took out an iPad and showed him what was, as Axios quotes, a propaganda video of what the Kurds are doing in Syria and in Turkey, i.e. various terrorist activities. This is what Axios reported. And at that point, Lindsey Graham looked at Erdogan and said, well, and I'm paraphrasing here, he says, well, should I ask the Kurds to create their propaganda video about what you guys are doing? And that's pretty astonishing, Alexander, isn't it? What do you think of the meeting between Erdogan, Trump, and these five senators?
Indeed. I mean, this was an extraordinary visit by the leader of a country that is still nominally a member of NATO. And the thing that struck me about it were two things that struck me about it. Firstly, that Erdogan himself didn't give an inch. I mean, he was not prepared to retreat on any issue, be it on the Kurds, be it on the S-400 sale. The story is, the reports are that Trump offered him a $100 billion deal if he was going to freeze the S-400 sale. That's the buy by the Turks of this very sophisticated anti-aircraft missile system from Russia. The S-400 is widely considered to be the most potent anti-aircraft system in the world. Erdogan said a flat no. As you said, he handed back the letter Trump sent to him. He just handed it back in a most, I mean, almost cavalier way. I mean, it was quite stunning, really. He then, as I said, gave the senators, Lindsey Graham and the rest, he gave them not an inch. But the other thing is that the Americans didn't give Erdogan much of an inch either. I mean, there were no real attempts, as far as I can see, to win him over. It seems to have been something of a square off. So I wonder to what extent this relationship is going to be repairable, at least in the short term. I mean, the contrast between Erdogan's trips to Washington and his various meetings with Putin and with the Russians, where there is real constructive discussions and negotiations which lead now to actual outcomes, could not be greater. It's two sides, the Americans and the Turks, that are basically talking at each other rather than with each other.
From a geopolitical level, from a high level, Alexander, you know, you touched upon it a little bit, but can you get into some more depth? What does this tell you about Turkey and how it feels in the region? It seems that it feels emboldened or strengthened. It feels like it has some leverage. Is that true? Is that a correct assessment here?
I think that's what Erdogan thinks. Whether he's right to think that is another question. But I mean, he now, I think, feels that he's got a strong relationship with the Russians. And he's also had a very strong relationship, which he's been developing, with the Chinese. The Chinese, it's not been very widely reported, have been lending him quite a lot of money recently. They've been helping him with his reserves, and that has helped him to stabilize the Turkish lira and to gain some degree of financial leverage from the US. So I think what he thinks he's doing is he's coming to the US, as he believes, with the Russians and the Chinese at his back. And that means that he's able to play a strong card when he's dealing with the Americans. Whether he really does have as strong cards to play as he thinks he does is, I think, another matter. I think lurking in the background, Turkey's position is not quite as strong as I think Erdogan imagines. I think the Russians and the Chinese aren't as fully committed to Turkey as perhaps Erdogan would like to believe, simply because I don't think they trust Erdogan very much. But anyway, that's the nature of the of what he's doing coming to Washington. He comes and he thinks he can dictate to the Americans. No other Turkish leader has ever tried that. And of course, it plays very well back in Turkey, where the United States is not very popular. But the risk he runs is he could be overplaying his hand.
All right, Alexander, so if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that Erdogan thinks that U.S. retaliation, which will likely take form, will take the form of sanctions, more sanctions, if it does happen, more sanctions. You're saying that Erdogan is not afraid of those sanctions. He feels that China will be able to come to his aid there. Do you believe that? I mean, is that realistic? Can Turkey survive U.S. sanctions?
Well, this is it. I'm not sure that it can, actually. I think if we get into a situation of an all-out economic war between the United States and Turkey, I think Turkey remains far too heavily integrated in the Western economic system to be able to ride that out as easily as Erdogan thinks Turkey can. Bear something in mind. Whereas a country like Russia, which has also been under enormous sanctions pressure, is able to ride that out because it runs a big budget surplus, a big trade surplus, and has piled up massive reserves and is economically self-sufficient. Turkey is none of those things. It has a budget deficit, a trade deficit, and it is not self-sufficient in any manner, shape, or form, be it in terms of its own natural resources or energy or food or raw materials or industry or finance or anything. I think it's a much more fragile economy than Erdogan thinks it is. So I think that on that point, on the intrinsic strength of Turkey, I think he's overestimating it. And I think he's also, underestimating the extent to which there are still people in Turkey, within the political and economic elite in Turkey, who would not want to see a Turkey that becomes too far distant from the West and still have powerful cards to play against him internally. So I think he's playing a dangerous game with the Americans, a wiser game would be one that seeks to be emollient with the Americans, tries to make them understand that Turkey does have interests in Syria, that does need to have good relations with Russia, does need to have good relations with China, but which is not a straightforwardly anti-American country. And I think playing videos to Lindsey Graham and handing back letters to Donald Trump, it might be very satisfying for Erdogan, and it might play well in Turkey, but given the massive imbalance of power between Turkey and the United States, I think, frankly, that's rather a reckless thing to do.
Very quickly, Alexander, I don't think Erdogan should have met with Lindsey Graham and those senators. I think he should have, he has a team there with him. He should have sent his ministers that were part of his entourage to meet with him. I think that was a mistake, don't you think?
Absolutely, I entirely agree. He's not really skilled at this sort of thing. Can I just make the contrast? I mean, Putin, who is the leader of a far more powerful country, when he meets with Americans, he is always extremely polite and very measured with his language. So if he were to meet with someone like Lindsey Graham, He would know how to handle Lindsey Graham. He would not make the situation with Lindsey Graham even worse than it already is. Erdogan doesn't know how to do that. And I think for him to meet with someone like Lindsey Graham was extremely unwise. That's just not his skill set at all. He's very good at playing at the political game in Turkey itself. He knows how to negotiate with the big regional powers, with Iran, with Saudi Arabia, with Russia. He's with the Americans, he's out of his depth. And I don't think he understands that.
All right, and two final questions, Alexandra, so you can close out this video. What do you think Trump is going to do after this meeting? And do you think the dynamics in Syria have changed at all after this meeting, i.e. what Turkey's doing with their operations in the north, how Russia's going to view what's going on and what they're going to do? And of course, the very divisive, contentious issue of the U.S. kind of sitting on Syria's oil fields over there in the north. What do you make is, how do you see things playing out after this meeting?
Well, I think that Donald Trump made a big effort to reach out to Erdogan over the last few months and weeks. And I think this meeting with Erdogan will have made that much more difficult, both for Donald Trump personally, and I suspect generally for the political elite in Washington. As far as they're concerned, what they have is a Turkish president who's going rogue and who is thumbing his nose at the United States and at them personally. And I think that's going to make them much more angry and far less willing to work with the Turks than they have been up to now. So my guess is that we are going to see a sanctions rollout in some form over the next couple of weeks. Maybe it won't be as severe as some people in Washington want, but I think personally that that is coming. However, turning now to the dynamic of the situation in Syria, I don't think anything fundamentally has changed there at all. I think that we will still see the Turks primarily dealing now with Moscow. Russia is the country that now holds all the high cards in Syria. Its military have just occupied the former US base in Kobani, near the Turkish border. You can actually see video of the Russian troops moving in there. They are in control now of most of northeast Syria. And the US clinging on to these oil fields, I think everybody in the region, the Russians, the Syrians, the Turks, know that that is unsustainable and that one day the Americans will go. So I don't think it's going to change the dynamic. This visit is going to change the dynamic in Syria, because that's now really being shaped by the Turks and the Russians talking bilaterally with each other. But it is going to damage Erdogan's own relationship with the United States, and that's going to make Turkey's position more difficult going forward with the Americans. And I don't really think that is ultimately in Erdogan's interests or in Turkey's.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button down below. And also click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we push out a new video. Also check us out on SoundCloud and on iTunes to get an audio copy of this video as well. The link is in the description box down below. And you will also find a link in the description box to PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Please donate to us. You can help keep this channel up and running. And also check us out on Telegram, where we post everything that's going on in the Duran community. So subscribe to us on the Telegram as well. See the Duran channel there. And go to BitChute and DuranVideo.com. Duran Video is our own video platform. BitChute, of course, is the rising star in video platforms, and we post all our videos to those two sites as well. So check us out there. Subscribe to us on those two platforms to make sure you never miss a video. And Alexander, I'm sure you've got some magic mugs there and some Duran Shop t-shirts. And I also know, Alexander, that you're on Telegram and you're on BitChute and Duran Video as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And can I just say, these platforms are fantastic. We are absolutely thrilled by them and by the way that they're developing. We think they're going to improve our service to you, our viewers, hugely. So I would hugely encourage everybody who watches this video to find us there. I think you will be greatly rewarded when you do. As for myself being with Magic Mugs and shirts, well, you're absolutely right, Alex. I'm drinking from one at the moment, Fortnum & Rayson's Royal Blend Tea, which is exactly the kind of tea that you need to have on a cold, wet day like this. And I'm wearing my wonderful 100% cotton, warm, long-sleeved Durand t-shirt, which keeps me comfortable so that I can sit through a video like this without shivering, which I would probably be doing even with the central heating on a cold day. So these are fantastic shirts. These are fantastic mugs, 100% cotton in the case of our shirts, beautiful porcelain, and 15 ounce capacity in terms of our mugs. And you can find other great things like this on our shop. You can find short sleeve t-shirts. You can find our really amazing and incredibly stylish polo shirts. You can find V-neck shirts. You can find stickers. You can find hats. You can find all sorts of great and fabulous things. Alex has been refreshing our product line. So help the Durand. Go to our shop, help yourself by owning these great things. Alex will tell you how to do it.
TheDurandShop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Pick up some merchandise. Help us out. Alexander McCurr is editor-in-chief of The Durand. Until next time, everybody, take care.